James chapter number 4, verse number 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year. Buy and sell and get again. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Praise the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to help us here today. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. God bless you and you may be seated. Praise God. I feel like talking about life. And how quickly things can change and turn in life. The Bible says that man that is born of a woman is but of a few days and full of trouble. Full of trouble. And we don't have any problem getting ourselves into trouble. We can do it rather quickly. We can do it with one decision, or we can set the direction that the decision that we make right now is not necessarily life-threatening or eternally threatening, but it sets a direction. Things that we begin to grow closer to, begin to become warmer to the touch, and things that we would not do some time ago, those are the things that we begin to embrace or begin to accept in this day. Amen. I was just thinking about it this morning as I was in prayer, began to think about some different things, and I thought to myself, you know, the things today that we look at as decent or as okay, 20 years ago, we had a lot of skepticism about that. 20 years ago, we had a lot of questions and concerns about that. I'm reading a book right now, and I find it interesting. As I was reading it, I came across something, and so I immediately flipped to the front of the book to find out when it was written, the copyright. And I found that it was written in 1999. Now, here we are, 24 years later. 24 years later. And in this book, the author wrote and he said that according to, and he named the name of the individual, he said, according to so-and-so, that within a few years, we will be sitting in front of our computers as AI takes over, and we will be pets being told what to do in front of our computers. And I thought to myself, wow, 1999, 24 years later, here we are. And what most of us probably would have thought about or would have thought concerning AI, which for those that may not understand, that is artificial intelligence. And most of us that would have, we would have never dreamed of some of the things that artificial intelligence is doing in this day and age. This was back when he was writing, and he said it was just a few weeks ago, or I don't remember exactly the timing, but he said somebody in Iceland cloned a sheep. And he said America followed very closely thereafter, and they cloned two different animals. And he said it's even being said that in a high school, for extra credit, a high school student cloned a frog. And then he went on to say that it is said by so-and-so that soon artificial intelligence will have us as pets sitting in front of our computers being doing what we are told to do. It is a dramatic, changing world. Technology has advanced so far. I have sat down with a few different people concerning AI, and I have sat down with it myself. I have, I won't say dabbled with it or played around with it, but I have used it. I have tried to confuse it. I have tried all kinds of things with it. I asked it, what's the proper mode of baptism? And it told me correctly what the proper mode of baptism was. It told me that immersion in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And it gave me all kinds of scripture for it. And it knows that there's only one God. And so I find these things interesting. But you must understand that direction was set prior to 1999. And somebody began to have ideas, premonitions concerning artificial intelligence and all that it would do and the capacity that it would do. And I would venture to say that at this point in time, it is either very close to endless or it is endless possibilities that can be done. I have read details and articles about that if you know what you're doing and if you can question things just right, it'll build an Excel spreadsheet for you and tell you the formulas. And where you get it wrong, you can just adjust your wording and it will build that and it will help you work your way through that. And it'll write programs, it'll write code, it'll do all kinds of things that are necessary. And you say, well, how does this affect us? Well, just for starters, there are people in our society that would be called underwriters, that would be called writers, that are those who have jobs that actually make good money to write articles, to write posts, to write blogs for different ones. And I can sit down at my computer and within about 5 to 10 minutes, I could have 50 of these, and I know this because I've done it. I've had 50 of these written extremely professional, and then I take them and I save them to the computer, and then I can put them as a blog for our store and such. And what that has done is that has taken away the job of somebody. Somebody that could be paid, for instance, one article that an individual and I, we sat down and we put together, he said, that article right there would cost you at minimum $250 to have somebody to write that. And now that person is going to be put or be without a job. And it continues to go further and further and further and further. And so I'm not here to preach about that or to talk about that here this morning. One question that it would not answer was, are you the mark of the beast? And it would not answer that question. So, anyway, very interesting. Very interesting. But what I am saying is that direction was set over 24 years ago. Possibly in excess of 50 years, direction was set, that we could begin to teach, begin to code, begin to put stuff together, to set the direction that in time this would be able to do what it is accomplishing to do now. And so, with that said, you and I are not much different. Because, as a matter of fact, humanity is the one that set these action or these steps in action. We set these ideas in action. And you set in action your life. And little minute decisions that you make today or yesterday, you may not see how that they are going to affect you or how that they are going to affect you negatively. And so you begin to make these decisions and you set direction in your life, not understanding the fullness of the effect of that one little decision. Because that one little decision is going to lead to another little decision. And that little decision is going to lead to another decision. And know at all times that our decisions are being influenced by our environment. Our decisions are being influenced by the people that we hang around with, by the people that we talk to, by those that we stay in fellowship with. Our decisions are being influenced by them. And so today you can say, well, my influence factor in those that are around me is very positive. And I feel like I have got just a good nucleus around me to do. But decisions here today affect the things that happen tomorrow. And the decisions that you decide with today are going to get you closer to a decision later. And somebody says, well, what decision are we looking at? Well, hopefully the decision is heaven. But you see, there's a lot of things that come in between all of this because you and I have an adversary. And the adversary is not necessarily interested in getting us to do an about face from heaven and walking back down towards a place of eternal damnation. But the enemy is feeling that if he can get his victories incremental, if he can get his victories one degree at a time, and here a little and there a little, and just continue to change the course of your life by influence, by pressures, by activities, by things in life, that it won't be long before fully deceived in thinking that we are headed the right direction. He has changed the entire course of our lives. And then the Bible teaches us that life is but a vapor of smoke. It's just here for a short amount of time. Like that vaporizer that is in that room, and as the smoke ascends up, it dissipates and it's gone. And James said that our life is just like that. And so I'm really not concerned whether you look at yourself as a 14-year-old, a 16-year-old, an 18-year-old, a 20-year-old, a 30-year-old, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, or 80s. It does not matter. Amen. I want you to understand that every decision that you make in your life, somehow or another, is going to have an eternal ramification about that. Praise God. I know that I say, well, not everything. I mean, because I chose to eat ice cream for breakfast, and that's not going to affect me. You understand what I'm saying. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I would say that ice cream for breakfast probably helped you get a little bit to heaven, because I've never seen anybody eat ice cream and be angry and mad about it. Ice cream is a happy food. Jesus wants you to be happy. Oh, praise God. But the devil knows what he's doing. And the devil knows how to get people around our lives that we can become comfortable with. And just voices. The Bible said that there are many voices. Many voices. None without signification. None without significance. Every voice has some type of significance to it. Whether it's to turn you to the left or turn you to the right, but you understand that if it's the voice of the enemy, a friend of the enemy, or a soldier of the enemy, whatever that his tactic is to turn you, however slowly and slightly it may be, his agenda is to turn you. Praise God. And we all started, you know, in this day and age, we don't hear much preaching about hell. No, we don't. Well, I remember growing up, I remember hearing the preachers preach about hell, all the kids would be crying. And mamas are thinking to themselves, thank you, preacher, I'm going to have to deal with him all night long. Preachers get to preaching about hell, and all of a sudden the kids get up and they're sober. And they start making their way to their parents, and they kind of sit down, and they start whining, and then all of a sudden the altar call is given, and the altars are full. And preachers preaching so vividly about a place called hell. But in the day and the age that we live in, you must understand that time has changed and eroded a lot of things. And today, for a preacher to stand up and preach against hell, he's got to be full of hate. Nobody wants to hear about that. I remember a preacher one time preaching about hell. And somewhere about three quarters of the way through his message, a lady got up three quarters of the way back and she ran to the altar screaming. By the time she got to the altar, tears were flowing down her face. She was screaming and bawling. She fell down at the altars, begging and asking God to forgive her. And she prayed through that night. But in this generation, nobody wants to hear negative things. Everybody wants to hear positive things. Everybody wants to hear, make me feel good, pat me on the back, help me out a little bit, encourage me, lift me up, and then let me go about my way. Nobody wants to hear about the things that they're doing wrong. Nobody wants to hear about messages concerning sin anymore. As a matter of fact, I was talking to an individual not too long ago, and he told me this, and he has visited many churches, and he told me this. He said, gone are the days that preachers preach from the Bible. He said, they use the Bible to support some of their substance, but they don't preach from the Bible any longer. I thank God that around here we're still going to take our text from the Bible. We're still going to preach from the Bible. And the Bible said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Sometimes the truth doesn't taste good. The truth doesn't feel good. Amen. A lot of times the truth is going to rub you the wrong way. But I'm here to tell you today that the truth is still going to save you. The truth is still going to save you. We need to hear about the truth. Amen. We need to hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We need preachers to be able to preach without fear, without favor. Amen. With passion and compassion that can get into our world and tell us what is going on and what is wrong in our lives. Oh! Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. I told you it's going to be a little bit shotgun style this morning. We'll see where we go. Praise God. But I am reminded of the woman that was at the well. And there she was at the well, and she was going about her own business and doing her own thing. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus told his disciples, you go on about your way, but I have needs to go through Samaria. Because there is somebody there that needs to hear about the truth.
And so he went there, and he asked this woman, he said, give me to drink. And she said, wherewith shall I give you to drink? You don't have a pail that I can drop it in and that I can draw water from. And the well is very deep. You're not just going to get in and cup your hands and drink from your hands. You're going to have to drop something down in there and pull it up. And he said, if you knew who you were speaking to, you would ask me of water, and I would give you living water, and you would never thirst again. And she began to dialogue with him, and she began to tell him how religious that she was, or all of the things that she knew. And she said, are you greater than our father Abraham and Jacob that gave us of this well? And this well was able to feed their entire, this well was able to give drink to their entire family and to their entire flock. And all. Are you greater than this one? And Jesus began to talk to her. And she said, hold on a second. I need to go get my husband. And he began to tell her what was going on in her life. And he told her about her husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, you're correct. Now, this would not have been politically acceptable in this day and age, but he told her, he said, you're exactly right. You don't have a husband. You've had five of them, and the one that you're with now is not your husband. And people today would have been offended by that, and they would have said, you know what, I don't like the way that you're talking. I don't like the way that this sounds. And I think that I'm going to ask you to leave. And I think that I'm going to go somewhere else. And she could have said, I'm done talking with you, and she could have walked away. But there was something that was on the inside of her that went from talking about a sir. And she began to say, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And she said, stay right here while I go get my entire family. And she went and she got everybody, and there they came. And Jesus was able to talk to them, and the precedent was set for revival that would come in Samaria. Amen. All the way in Acts chapter number 8, where Philip was gone, and Philip was preaching revival there. And there were people that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It wasn't because somebody patted them on the back and made them feel good, but it was because somebody told them what they were doing wrong in their life so that they could straighten up and they could be saved. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I want to hear the voice of the Lord. I want to hear the Lord speak to me. I want to hear the Lord talk to me. Oftentimes while I'm praying, I said, God, check my direction. I want to make sure that I'm headed in the right direction. I want to make sure that I'm not straying to the right or to the left. I want to make sure, amen, that my destination is set, that my coordinates are set. I don't want to get to the end of life and see and find out that somehow or another I missed it somewhere down the road. And yes, there are times that I feel like I make the wrong decision, and I'm not pleased with all the decisions that I make, but it's at an altar that I can find my direction, and I can adjust my course, and I can get back on track. That's where it takes, amen, that's what it takes for us today. Praise God. Amen. Ephesians, Paul said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince and the powers of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy and his great love wherein he loved us, he intervened, he got into our business, he changed our direction, he changed our course. But we do not believe in once saved, always saved. We do not believe that damnable doctrine, amen, that tells you that you can be saved, amen, and then you can go do as you want to do and be saved when it comes. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. Amen. You've got to live holy. You've got to live just. You've got to live righteous. My Bible says that if the righteous are scarcely saved, where the sinner and the ungodly appear. Amen. We've got to live a repentant life. If you make heaven, it's because because you purpose to make heaven. You're not going to accidentally show up there one of these days. You're going to have to hear the truth. You're going to have to be obedient to the truth. You're going to have to do what the truth tells you to do if you're going to be saved.
Amen. Amen. And so there are some laws that we live by, some laws that we do, that's the exact thing that this generation does not want. This generation doesn't want laws. Let me just tell you something, friend. You're going to serve some law. I don't care what it is. You're going to serve some law. You're either going to serve and be obedient to the laws of man, the laws of God, or the laws of nature. I would rather do the laws of God, because the laws of man are subject to change. Let me just throw out an example. How is it okay for them to burn down the city of Portland and burn down businesses and rob and steal from businesses? But if I go do that today, they'll throw me in jail. Why is it okay if I do it in demonstration of political views and throw rocks through businesses and burn cars and all that other stuff that I can be okay? But if I do it for a different political affiliation, they'll throw me in jail. I'm just simply saying the laws of man is going to change. The laws of God are principle. They are static. They are unchanging. They are forever established and written down in the Bible. And then there are the laws of nature. And I'll refrain from giving examples about the laws of nature because things that are coming to my mind right now are not exactly politically correct. But I am just stating that we will have laws in our life. Let's go back to the old Wild West. And what did they want? They wanted laws. They wanted deputies. They wanted sheriffs to come in and to establish peace. Because there were people that were a law unto themselves. Are you calling me a liar? Go for your gun. And to boot heel, they would be taken. And that was the law of the land. Was the law of nature. They took the law in their own hand and administered judgment and justice and however that they decided to go. And so the desire was, it was the sheriff. Give him deputies, and let's establish some laws around here. And let's make sure that guns are checked in when the people ride into town. And then laws have grown from there. And when we come back to it, we realize that many of these are not too far from the laws that God initially gave us called the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt honor your father and your mother. And all of these things that was given unto man to live. And it was those that began to make these rules more than what they were. Jesus basically said, I gave you 10, and you're the ones that blew this up to 650 something plus all of that. Now you're feeling that it's hard to do. I don't want to get caught up in that. But the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter number 7 that the law of God is holy. The commandment is holy and just and good. Amen. We know that the law is spiritual, but Paul said, I am carnal. In other words, I know what the law is. I know it's for the best of my benefit. I know it's for my good, but I am carnal. And so there's a lot of choices that I'm going to make that aren't going to be correct. And he goes on to talk about this. He said, I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present within me.
For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And so he addresses these laws that he has. The law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. In other words, I know what is right, and I know what is wrong. But for some reason or another, I've got this little devil angel sitting over here telling me that I should do this, and this other little angel sitting over here telling me that I shouldn't do this, and they're warring against my mind, and this one is saying do it, this one is saying don't do it, and here I am, and I've got to make a decision, amen, and the one over here telling me to do it is trying to bring me into captivity to the law of sin. Do you hear what I'm saying today? Amen. To whom ye yield your servants to, amen, you servants, amen, that's to whose servants you become. Amen. If you serve the law of sin, you're going to become the servant of sin. But if you serve the law of God, you're going to become the servant of God. And you are going to reap what you sow. Hallelujah. I feel such a burden here today. I feel such a heaviness in my spirit. I feel such an unction upon me to deliver not just to one individual, maybe not just to two individuals, but I'm talking to people here in this room that you're sitting there looking on the left and looking on the right, and you're trying to make some decisions, and everything that is within you is telling you you don't need to do this, and the laws of God are coming up and you're saying this is wrong, I know that I shouldn't do it, but here you are and you're thinking to yourself, I'm going to get away with this. But when you yield yourself a servant to the laws of sin, amen, you become the servant of sin, and you begin to live in condemnation, and you're not going to pray like you need to pray, you're not going to read your word like you need to read it, you're not going to involve yourself in church like you need to involve yourself in church, you're going to miss church for whatever reason that you come up with, because now you are the servant of sin. I'm telling somebody today, you need to find an altar, and you need to repent, and you need to get the direction of your course reestablished, and get back in the straight and the narrow way, so that when you come to the end of life, you're not found wanting and not where you wanted to be.
Praise God. I pray that you're taking me seriously about this. Because I do. I feel such a heaviness. I feel such a heaviness about this. And I felt along the lines of what I would preach today. And I have some of those scriptures even here this morning printed on paper. And some of them I have already addressed. But as I was praying last night, that thought just came to my mind. What about tomorrow? What about tomorrow? And I began to see the correlation, began to see the fit of how that it goes together. And today I wasn't able to completely put it together. I kind of felt like I had a small glove and I was trying to put a large hand into it. It just was not fitting. But I still feel the unction of the Spirit, amen, to preach about this for a little while. And it the direction that we take and the influences in life that we allow into our life set dramatic direction in our life. If you hang around with skunks, you're going to smell like a skunk. Amen. If you're hanging around with wet dogs, you're going to smell like a wet dog. Come on, somebody. You can't hang around with the world and expect to come out unaffected by it.
You can't inject, amen, and partake of the things of the world and then expect to come out somehow or another spiritual about it all. You're being influenced, you're being enticed, and the devil knows what he is doing. And the devil, amen, somehow or another, he's got a key to your life. I know him in the Holy Ghost right now. Amen, the devil's got a key in your life, and he knows how to unlock some doors in your life. He knows how to get into your business. He knows how to get into your mind. He knows how to get into your weaknesses. He knows how to get into the dirty areas and the closets of your life. He knows how, amen, to manipulate you and to get in these places in your life. He knows how to position people in your life. He knows how to take circumstances in your life and change it around to influence you. You got to be strong. You got to stand. You got to withstand. You got to stand against the devil. Amen. Paul said, amen, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He told us later, amen, in Ephesians, to take on the whole armor of God, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. I'm telling you, somebody here, you're being pushed around by the devil. You're being influenced by voices that are on the outside. You've got to stand in this evil day. You must stand.
Praise God. Praise God. Oh, and we just take a moment and pray right now. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Be seated. Hallelujah. You're talking to people that you don't need to be talking to. I'm trying to be very careful here right now, because I don't want to sound like the mean, big mean preacher that says you can't talk to anybody and everybody. I believe that Jesus talked to sinners. Amen. But I know that Jesus was doing the influence of sinners, and the sinners weren't doing the influencing of him. I understand that we're never going to win the world unless we get out there and we talk to them, unless somehow or another we can become their friends, that in a time of need they know where to come to. Amen. Come on, there's a heaviness that is here right now, and I need some people to pray. And I want to tell you how serious that I feel about this service here right now. And as the Bible says, today you say, amen, today or tomorrow we will do this. We will go into the city. Your action is set. And we will continue there for a year. You've already got the plans. And we will buy and we will sell and we will get gain. You're going to prosper. Amen. But then the Bible says this, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. You don't know what tomorrow holds. But yet you're telling yourself that you've got plenty of time, amen, to make an action. You've got plenty of time to turn around. You've got plenty of time to change into some of the decisions that you're making in life. I'm trying to get across to you that you don't understand the fierceness of the decisions that you are making today. You do not understand the harshness of the decisions that you are making today. You are dealing with an enemy that is not interested in being your friend. He is not interested, amen, in just having you come over to his side. He is very interested in killing you, destroying you, and stealing your identity. Amen. You hear me here this morning, that when it's all said and done, the devil wants you to waste away in a prison cell, amen, somewhere being abused by all of those that are with you. I know I'm being graphic here today, but I feel the unction of the Spirit upon
on me. I'm trying to get somebody's attention. I'm trying to wake somebody up. You in your mind have purposed, and you have thought to yourself, this is what I am going to do. And you now rejoice in your boastings, and you say, I shall do this. But God says, your rejoicing is evil.
Your rejoicing is evil. And such is this degeneration of human nature that is not only practices sin, but glories in sin. Fallen man is inverted man. Man turned upside down. His love is where his hatred should be. And his hatred is where his love should be. His glory is where his shame should be. And his shame is where his glory should be. Many people count strictness, amen, unto grace. And sin is admirable. But the apostle says the glory is their shame. Their glory is their shame. Usually by our foolish mistakes, we bless and we praise God like this when we have more sense, amen, and more reason to humble and to afflict our souls. But sometimes this is because our conscience is numbed and people have worn out all honest restraints. They've lied about things indefinitely until they themselves feel comfortable in their lives. And now they rejoice in evil and they delight in their perversity. The drunkard thinks it's clever to drink so much wine and boast of how many cups he can drink. The confirmed adulterer boasts of how many acts of uncleanness that he has had. The swearer thinks it's the beauty of his speech that he mixes with oaths. And proud people think that conceited clothing is their best ornament. But we must first practice, hallelujah, amen, the things of God. We must never practice sin, because when you practice sin, you're going to defend your sin. And when you defend it, you're going to boast of it. Sin is a burden, then a custom, then a delight, and then an excellence.
And you're so happy. You're so happy. And you're trying to fool everybody. God's not fooled. God knows. And so I tell you, under the fear and the admonition and the unction of the Holy Ghost, that as you're saying, today or tomorrow, I'm going to do this or that, I am telling you that you know not what shall be on the morrow. For your life is but a vapor that appeareth for a time and then vanisheth away. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, you've got all of the knowledge that you need. This is not anything that you don't know of. You know. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And we know that no sin's going to enter into the kingdom of God. No sin. No sin. Romans chapter number 1. He said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. God's not going to shack up with sin. It's not going to happen. No sin is not going to enter into heaven. You must be born again. You've got to repent. You've got to be right. You've got to come clean. And I open up these altars here this morning. It's time. It's time to come clean. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, it's time to repent. It's time to repent, to get your life right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Won't you let the Lord deal with you this morning? Let's not use the excuse, I just don't know that I'm comfortable with that type of preaching. I don't know that I'm... Jesus looked at the religious and he said, you're a bunch of hypocrites. Hypocrites. You're vipers.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, he had to get their attention. He had to get their attention. I'm trying to get your attention today because you're on the border of disaster.